This is ensemble member K. Todd Freeman, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theatre Company podcast.
I'm Associate Artistic Director David New, and I'm speaking today with ensemble member Rick Snyder, who is the director of Steppenwolf's production of Yasmina Reza's Art. How are you, Rick?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's opening afternoon.
Yeah.
And since we're in the upstairs theater, we actually have two performances today, 2 o'clock, which is a just completed performance, and then a 6 o'clock performance this evening.
Yes.
You know, I guess when we were choosing plays for the Theater of the Imagination, we thought that this was an appropriate choice because at the center of the play, there's this white canvas, right, which is where we project images onto, right? We project what we see.
Especially this particular canvas.
Yeah.
Because you have to almost.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
Can you tell us just a little bit about the premise of the play? What's the basic setup of the story?
Basic setup, there's three friends, and a lot of the conflict, if you will, takes place between two of them, primarily with the third guy as a kind of go-between or, you know, intermediator. It gets caught up in the whole thing also, but basically what happens is one friend goes out, they both love art, one friend goes out and buys a white painting without the advice and consultation with the second friend. Well, the second friend becomes upset with this and also hates the painting, just hates it, and which hurts the feelings of the first character that actually went and bought it. So that's what sets things in motion, and it becomes a deconstruction of the friendship because of this conflict over this white painting. You know, and it turns out it isn't really about the white painting. The white painting is just a catalyst, and what it's really about is a lot of other stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's been the post-show discussions that I've been doing with our audiences. You know, one of the first questions I ask is it about the painting? They unanimously say no, and then we can get on to, you know, these other ideas that you're talking about, which are investigated a bit more in depth. So these three guys, it's interesting the way that they are manifest in the scenic design. They each have a painting in their in their place, right? And that's how we know that we're in different homes.
Yes.
And the three paintings are sort of indicators for us, too. Can you talk a little bit about each, you know, man, his painting, and what that might be saying about that?
You have the man that bought the white painting, which he tends to like more modern stuff, more, you know, streamlined stuff.
And he's a dermatologist.
Yeah. The second man, Mark, likes things more classical, so his painting is more of a classical nature with a classical-type frame around it. You know, and he's an aeronautical engineer, and I don't know, sometimes one might think that's a contradiction. Maybe he'd be the guy with the white painting, but that's the way people are. So, and he tends to be very traditional, which is part of the problem he has with his friend buying this modern painting. He doesn't think there's anything to that. There doesn't take any talent to create something like that. There's nothing you can see in it. Yeah. And the third character, Ivan, he tends to be more more, I'd say, frivolous, more absent-minded, more eccentric, and doesn't really care that much about art. So he has a painting that turns out is his. Was painted by his father. That's sort of, you know, they reference it as being a motel painting, is what it looks like. Turns out it isn't. But that's the guy. He just doesn't care that much, and he just likes what he likes, and doesn't worry about the other stuff. You know, is it, you know, appropriate? Is it, you know, creative? It just he likes it, and his dad painted it, so it's good. You know,
it's kind of three great ways to look at art, right? I mean, because I think that we probably have all of those reactions to different pieces or even performance, right? There's something that we love because it seems to be evolutionary. It's moving forward in a new direction. It's innovative.
Sure.
Then there's something we love because it's really well done for what it is, for its genre, its form, right? It's traditional, but it's really satisfying on that level. And then there's just the thing that we like, you know? I mean, because there's some kind of emotional attachment to it, right?
Yeah.
Because this painting was done by his father, and so he's got a kind of a different kind of way of connecting to it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it comes out in the play, too, that you know, what happens partially is that we're, especially in Mark's character, the more traditional guy, he is very unforgiving of, you know, the tastes of others, you know, and that's a problem that his character has. And however, It's true across the board. You know, John Procaccino was in the show, told a story that he bought a painting and he wanted to show it to his brothers. He was excited about it. True story. And they came over and they didn't say anything. And he finally said, "How about this painting?" And they kind of looked and went, "Oh, yeah," you know, and then watched the game, you know.
Right.
Well, that hurt his feelings. Now, intellectually, you shouldn't. You should say, okay, my friend doesn't love my friend, my brother, my wife. They don't like what I like. Fine, I like it. But we don't do that.
No.
We get hurt. We get, you know, and then we start, you know, we get resentful of our friends for doing that. And that's partially what goes on here, too.
Yeah, that's really interesting because what that speaks to as well is, right, the fact that John anticipated a reaction, that there's an expectation.
Right.
You know, and I think Serge has that as well. I mean, he shows that painting to Mark expecting something that he doesn't get.
Exactly, which is approval, which is sort of what we do in relationship. You know, it's an interesting line. I was thinking on the way down here that, you know, the line in the play, "I love the way you saw me. I was flattered." That is so true. We're in relationships all the time because of our perceptions, how we think we're being perceived by our friends, our lovers, our partners, whatever. And what happens in the play is, you know, of course, we never talk about that stuff. Not really, especially guys, you know, a lot of times. But, you know, in the play, what happens, you have the rare event of they start talking about what the relationship is based on because of this problem with the painting, and they find out their perceptions are not right, or their perceptions there they had no idea, you know, and so yeah. So then they start questioning the friendship. You know, what is it really based on if it's not what we perceived it was, you know?
Yeah, one of the lines that struck me, too, this week watching the play, and I'm sure it's because, you know, we have this kind of season theme of the imagination, mm-hmm. is when Mark says, "I can't imagine you genuinely loving that painting."
Mm-hmm.
That actually it's a failure on Mark's part of the imagination because his friend is changing or growing in a way that he cannot accept or make sense of.
Right.
And I think that's really true of long-term friends, also family, right? There's something, it seems inauthentic when someone starts to change or act differently or have different tastes or a new hobby or something.
Right.
We think, that's not authentic.
That's not how I see you. That's not what our relationship, is. And it's troubling because it's, you know, your relationships are sort of a safe zone in the world. And when they get distorted or aren't going the way you think, then you become unsettled. You become wary and frightened or, you know, unsure about things. You know? So, it's an interesting phenomenon.
Has anything been sort of surprising to you as you've worked on the play? Because, you know, it's so different when you spend time reading the script before you go into rehearsals and then you get into the room with the guys and get up on your feet and you hear the play. Has there been anything that's been sort of surprising about that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, yes. I mean, really, I think we touched on this before, but it's like the big surprise for me, I read the play, thought it was really good, thought it moving also in a very, it was funny, but moving, very moving to me. But then I, you know, I heard the actors take it, and then I watched them start performing it, and it just opens up, and it's so much more deep and funny and moving with actors. I've never had anything come off the page, you know, go from the page to the performance. I mean, there's always that difference, but not quite like this. This thing just blossomed mm-hmm. for me, and I saw all kinds of things that I hadn't, you know, seen or heard before in the play, which was really a revelation for me. Yeah.
Fantastic. What is it like, Rick? Because, I mean, this is a play that you could very easily act in. And, mm-hmm. and of course, you have your hand in both acting and directing. Do you feel that those two practices inform each other? Or do you feel like, you know, when I'm directing, it's directing. When I'm acting, it's acting. And they're sort of two separate disciplines. Or, you know, in the way that you talk to actors, or is there a kind of crossover there? Or?
I think there is, and there's a lesson for both sides of that. I mean, having the experience of doing both, it informs me as a director, informs me as an actor. The big thing is, you know, when I started directing, it really hits home that an actor needs a director. And vice versa. But because the actor can't see himself, an actor doesn't really know how he's being perceived. You know, right. I mean, you think you do, but not really. On the other side of that, I think directing actors should be highly collaborative, because I think actors will show you the way. Actors are very smart, and they will show you the way in the performance. And if you don't listen to them, you can really shoot yourself in the foot. I do think, because I'm an actor, I also know, I understand actors in a way that maybe a director who hasn't acted does. I understand their fears, their doubts, their, you know, the things that need to be reinforced, when to leave them alone.
Fantastic. So later in the run, we're going to have some cast shifts. Fran Guinan is going to move into the role of Serge from the role of Mark, and Ken Freeman will leave the role of Ivan and go to the Downstairs Theater to do Tempest, and Joe Dempsey will be coming into that role, and then Jan Barford will take on the role of Mark.
Right.
So there's one shift and there's two replacements.
Right.
What's that going to be like in terms of your revisiting the show and rehearsing those guys? And
I have no idea. No, I think it's going to be fun. I think, you know, as you well know, every actor brings something new and different to it. Not necessarily better, but just, you know, different, sees things about the character. So that's going to be interesting for me to look at and sort of deal with and adjust to, probably. But I think it should be very, very much fun.
Yeah.
For everybody. Yeah.
And it's interesting, right, because the conflict that you described between these two men that sort of at the center of the play, Fran is going to be on both sides of that argument.
Right, exactly.
It'd be fun to see him do a kind of schizophrenic scene with himself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Although, it's come up in post-show discussions too, you know, there is something about that argument that can be thought about internally. I feel that way sometimes. I want to be appreciative of sort of newer or avant-garde art or theater.
Right.
And at the same time, I want to hold on to something. So I can sort of struggle with that just in my own tastes, right? I should be able to appreciate that, but I just don't.
Yeah.
And, am I kind of stuck in a kind of traditional way of seeing art? And, and that dialogue, I think, can happen within one person, too.
Absolutely. It happens with me. I see things that I, you know, certain kinds of theater I enjoy, and there's others that I just don't. But the ones that I don't as much, I go like, well, are you being closed-minded? You know, are you, you know, I mean, maybe I am, or maybe. But on the other hand, that it's what I like.
Right.
You know, I have those discussions with myself.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for talking today. If you want more information about art, you can visit www.steppenwolf.org.
AT&T is the sponsor of online content at steppenwolf.org.